It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Time for the juice. You got Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. Brennan decked out in his golden Rangers gear. Some World Series stuff back there. The Texas Rangers and Houston Astros, they split their series in the end. The Astros win it yesterday 10-5. Rip-roaring start for the old Rangers in this game. They scored 5 runs in the first inning, and they ran Hindley off, who's making his big league debut for the Stros, after a third of an inning. And then after that, well, the bats couldn't scratch across another run. And then the Astros on the other side scored 2 in the first of their own, 2 in the second, 3 in the fourth, 3 in the fifth, winning it 10-5 and making it a series split. So they move on before they meet up again this weekend. For the Rangers, you can hear game one at home against the A's tonight starting at 6:30. We'll take you all the way up to it here on Double T 97.3. For the Astros, they stay on the road and will take on the Kansas City Royals. You can hear that on 100.7 The Score at 6:10. Our boy Cole Reagan's on the mound tonight.
Ooh,
for the Royals.
Your boy.
If only he had pitching behind it. That would help. UConn, back-to-back national champs, Gus. They beat Purdue 75-60. It was 36-30 at the half. Purdue stayed in it early second half, and then you finally saw midway around there through the second half what UConn has done to about everybody, especially the really good teams they've faced. This was similar to how they beat Alabama to me. Not game plan-wise, but just the rhythm of it. They finally found that separation, and then once it hit that double-digit lead, it just never felt like Purdue was going to, and they hung around, but it never felt like they were actually going to get all the way back to UConn, and ultimately they don't. Hurley's game plan against Edie, and really I should say the guard surrounding Edie, was incredible. The hey, you get however many points you want, which he got 37, by the way, but you're gonna get yours, but no one else is going to beat us. And man, UConn just not that there was any doubters that I saw, but if there was, ultimate silence.
They just suffocate you, man. They just take the life out of you. You're down 4 at half, and you're going, oh, we're okay. And you go into the first media timeout, and you're down 7, and then maybe the second media timeout or whatever, and suddenly you're down 11, and you're going, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. And that just, man, those dudes are good.
And it's, you know, for UConn, it's, and they had some holdovers, but their main contributors from last year, gone, right? And you reload, and plus you bring up like a Klingon who was Klingon. I was going to call him Klingon. Shout out AD Klingon, who was a part of it last year and played, but you know, officially takes over for Sanago, their big man last year, who was really dominant. And just once again, really, really hammered the point home in this one that they have been on one of the most dominant tears you have seen. And we'll talk a little bit more about this game. I've got some interesting things with UConn's 2-year run that I'm interested in your thoughts on, but UConn wins at 75-60, and college basketball is done for a while, at least on the court. Now we get to really dive into transfer portal stuff. Multiple people putting out their names today into the portal. So if you're worried that you haven't seen any commitments yet, everyone's turning over their roster right now, and nothing is even close to set. A big one for me, our boy Robbie Avila,
yes.
Indiana State, about Kareem. An hour ago.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd. And he's got the red exclamation point by his name. And, don't contact me. And supposedly, I mean, the belief is that he's following his skipper to St. Louis. St. Louis U, he's going to be a Billiken. How about that?
Take the red exclamation point off.
I want that dude here.
Yeah.
I want that dude squaring off with Khalifa next year.
That's what Choice and I were going back and forth on this.
Gosh.
I was kind of half joking, but half like if he ended up on any sort of roster in the Big 12, I think he would do just fine.
Sure.
And Khalifa was my – I think he's a more skilled Khalifa, and Khalifa did just fine for BYU all season long. Their mountainous three-point shooter, rebounder, somewhat slow-footed seeming big man that still just found separation at times. I feel like he would do a similar thing in the Power Five, and Indiana State obviously wasn't a pushover. Just missing the tournament and then making their way to the NIT championship game that they lost. Texas Tech taking on ACU again tomorrow. This game was moved. That'll be a 5:30 start here on Double T 97.3. They'll have the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week with them as Damian Bravo. It was announced yesterday that he won that in a 5-0 week for the Red Raiders as they won every single game against Stanford and Houston. He had a .565 batting average, 12 runs scored, 8 RBIs, and 5 extra base hits, including 2 home runs. He also had a .593 on-base percentage last week. So, great stuff from him.
Look at you with the proper use of percentage versus average. Getting there, big boy. Telling you. I've been telling Jamie the whole time I believe in you.
You've had to fight him because he's saying the opposite. That is that is the juice. Hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
I keep telling him to stay with the kid from Mullenville.
Stay with him.
Stay with him. Hang with that guy, man. He'll be all right.
I appreciate that. Thanks. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Shelley. Here you go. I've met a few Idaho fellas.
Oh, my. Yeah, because she spent a little time there.
Mm-hmm. She says
she probably had her dog bitten by one of those big ruffians that we were talking about earlier.
She says Lumberjacky is correct.
Yeah.
Miss those dudes.
Yeah.
Instead you got the old neighbor asking to come over for a spaghetti dinner instead of those hunky lumberjacks up north. This on the chat line, Gus, what was the barbecue joint in Tuscaloosa
go
you mentioned?
Oh,
you,
go ahead and clip him saying hunky.
I was doing the same thing you were.
I'm going to need that.
Just go find yourself a big, beautiful man.
Exactly.
That was one of my favorite ways to describe.
It was just my voice anyway, wasn't it? Why did that have to get dumped from the old
it's not.
Reservoir?
It's somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
You just
get after
do a
it,
little
Riker.
Mining. Yeah, we just wait till he comes on Tuesday and we're like, Brandon, do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up.
What was the question?
What was the barbecue joint in Tuscaloosa you mentioned?
Archibald's in Northport and golly, what's the rib joint? Crap, I've only been there one time. Archibald's was the place that I spoke highest of. Dreamland Barbecue was the other one. Archibald's and Dreamland were the two.
There you go, we got it. What's Archibald's the one that did slab of ribs when I looked it up?
I think that was...
Was that Dreamland?
I think that was Dreamland, but I... Yeah, that's good.
Slab of ribs.
Mm-hmm.
It is Tech Talk here in Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Little baseball talk on the other side. Keep it right here.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass, taking care of us. After we're done, Texas Rangers taking on the Houston Astros, starting a three-game set. Excuse me. What did I just say?
They played them last night.
I just
they're playing your boys
the
tonight.
Oakland, Rangers are playing the Oakland. I'm reading what I'm going to next. That's and just right. did the thing.
The Astros are playing your boys.
I just did the thing where, like, have you ever been writing something down or typing something and someone's talking and you're trying to be like, you know, dear Brennan, you're doing such a good job at producing, but instead you look up and you're like, dear Brennan, pick up milk on the way home because someone was saying that in your ear. Sure. Something like that. Yeah, that's what just happened.
Probably happens to me all too often every weekend when I've hooked up to a microphone, if I had to guess. But
A-plus effort today so far. All right. Rewind. The Texas Rangers taking on the Oakland Athletics here after we're done. They just finished a series with the Houston Astros. After you finish the three-game set with the Athletics, guess who you have again, as you just noted. You will see the Astros again for a three-game set. That'll be at Houston. Is this the and I ask this because, you know, you're not a Rangers fan. You're not an Astros fan, not that you're rooting against either. And obviously you have specific interest with Tech players in both organizations. Is this your favorite rivalry currently?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, and I would say it this way. It's certainly one of the best in the game now at this time. And I think Tim Kirkjian did a thing maybe Sunday night in the pregame show before Sunday night's ball game and ranked a sort of a current ranking the top rivalries in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. And also on that list were Rangers and Astros were up there at the top, and then also on that list was Astros-Yankees. And it mainly had to do with the fact that the Astros have run through New York a few times in their postseason runs, to the delight of Yankees fans. Including, a peak trash can banging era, and which irks all those folks. And then I think Phillies, Braves, and a couple others. But, and those aren't the long-standing Yankees, Red Sox, Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals, Cubs type things. But still, those are fantastic rivalries. Great way to get the season started by having these two do a home and home early. Like all your fans are engaged now. You get the opening day and all that, and certainly in the Rangers case, you get to drop a banner. Some last year is the Astros dropping a banner, the flags fly forever thing, and then you get into the season and it's like you come up swinging here. I mean, really think about what the Astros have done. They've hosted the Yankees for four. And then about to do 7 of 10 with the Rangers. I mean, you talk about having the volume just turned up from the get go, and obviously it hadn't all gone well for them, but they came back to win that game. Well, obviously won Sunday night, and you and I talked about that the other day, but then came back to win last night, split the four games in Arlington, and both teams sort of, head on to your next stop before, like, see you Friday. And some of those pitching matchups will get renewed too. A couple of the guys that faced each other this weekend will get to square off again this coming weekend, this past weekend versus this coming weekend.
That Astros, just jump back just real quick. The Astros-Yankees thing is really interesting because obviously there's a recent history, and I could totally see them making that sort of top five list and have no issue with it, if you're going current right now, sort of rivalries in baseball. But I wonder, like, how entrenched is that if you weren't to have, let's say, over the next 10 years, Gus, and you don't see them meet up in any sort of way, or maybe just once or something like that in the playoffs? From whatever direction, if the Yankees aren't making it, or if the Astros aren't making it, or even if they are and they're just going through separate paths, and you don't have that kind of constant build, and it ends right where it is right now.
Sure.
In 10 years, is there going to be that same level of disdain between the two?
Probably not. I mean, because these things, like what we're dealing with now, at least when it comes to those two, it bubbles up in a way that you know, it's got an anchor moment or two that in, you know, that are heavy in postseason, and then it'll probably move on. Not to say that folks are, you know, there's gonna be a lot of folks around that'll remember it for a long time, but it may not be as top of mind.
It probably wouldn't be like if you brought up the series or if you brought up that era and that kind of time span where that happened. Again, this is just moving 10 years in the future. Then they probably either side go like, oh yeah, but you know, start rumbling and like, oh, I'm so mad at that, blah 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 blah.
Hardcore Yankee.
But
fan.
But it's not. I don't think it'll be the thing where if you just mention the word Yankees, the Astros will just lose their minds, or Astro fans, or vice versa. Whereas, you know, if you keep on the same trajectory that you're hoping you are at and remain at for both the Astros side, who's obviously been doing this, but then now the Rangers side, where, you know, if you go to and say, because up to this point, what's it been? We've talked about the alternating one's good, one's bad. And if you say, let's say on the up years for the Rangers and you say the Astros, the reaction probably isn't like, ah, Astros. It's like, oh yeah, they suck right now.
And then
flip it. Same thing where you're hoping it's at the point, again, from just our vantage point, that for the next decade, it won't be, you say the Yankees and the Astros just lose their mind. It's the opposite. You say the Rangers and you hear that cringe. And that's obviously more embedded, but when you do the flip-flop that these organizations have done for so long, this feels like, to me, it feels like the start of something new. It's like rejuvenating the rivalry.
And when you say that, you're talking about the Rangers-Astros.
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And think about this. I mean, a key part to all of this is they belong to the same league now. Mm-hmm. You know, because for years, there was the National League team and the American League team in Texas. The only way, other than some exhibition games, the only way they're ever playing was going to be in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And then we got interleague play, and then they, you know, in realigning some different things, they're not only on the same side of the ledger now, but they're also in the same league. And so now we truly get our, you know, our inside joke here, but our suck at Steve, because all the Rangers fans are tired of the Astros fans. Astros fans are tired of the Rangers fans. We've got a rivalry, and now they've had their playoff moment too.
Mm-hmm. Suck it, Steve. Hopefully
there's another pennant race or division race or something baked in the near future that the head button continues.
This is Tech Talk.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Tuesday. It's Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. As we are live from the First United Bank Studio, you can reach us in two different ways. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973, or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of that, welcome there. Take us anywhere with the mobile apps brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News now and on YouTube. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. Now, Gus, yesterday, towards the end of the day, I didn't leave you much room. Is more of an organic question that just kind of popped up, so I didn't give you space to really stress over your answer, because you seemed like you did not enjoy going over the options. So I wanted to dive into it a little bit more. Now you have obviously ACU tomorrow. Again, you can hear that game tomorrow here on Double T 97.3, starting at 5:30. Of course, supposed to be tonight, but has been moved. But after that, you're on the road against TCU, and your other conference series is you're at Kansas, you're in Lawrence for a series. You'll have West Virginia and Oklahoma here in Lubbock, and then you'll also see Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Which did you settle on as the now that you've had 24 hours to really?
I was nowhere at all comfortable with the
Which one do you feel the best about right now?
No, not really any of them. And The reason why I say that is there are some teams that maybe you look at down in the standings and go, oh, TCU, they're terrible, you know, playing bad or whatever. Or maybe Kansas just got swept at home. You know, what it, but what, you know, then my concern, I mean, again, in reference to your question, flips back to what we haven't been. We, the Red Raiders, haven't been on the road yet. You know, we're 2-4. And I'm saying that in conference play. You know, but 2-4 in conference and just have been two wildly different teams at home and on the road. The offense has disappeared on the road. And right now, I think that, I mean, it's and Jamie kept that stat, but the we were, what, 0-14 and in Waco with the runners in scoring position, and then like 2-23 and at UCF or something like that. And so it's right now it's 2-37 with the runners in scoring position. You know, and that number should be a little more reflective of your overall batting average. And I don't mean your overall season number. But if it's way out of kilter with just your season batting average, in other words, if your team's batting 300 and with runners in scoring position, you're hitting 450, that 450 is probably coming down to 300, or flip it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Texas Tech in conference play, if whatever we are, 300 hitting team, right now we're hitting 050 in road games. So that's not going to continue, all right? Does that mean we're about to go on a heater away from home? That'd be awesome because we need to do that offensively. But it's funny, our you know, at this point, you probably look at our stat sheet and certainly the Big 12 play stat sheet, and I would tell you, hey, the offense isn't as good as these numbers right here, and the pitching's not as bad as these numbers right here. And again, I'm not talking about the season stats. I'm talking about the conference-only stats, which you can click on that tab if you were on TexasTech.com and looking at that. And so it's just one of those things, you know. The So I'm tempted to answer your question with, ooh, give me one of those two road series, not the OSU one, but the other two. But then at the same time, I'm not brimming with confidence there just because of, you know, what we haven't done yet.
This,
or lately, I guess, is probably a better way to say it.
This may make you want to hit me in the head with that remote right there. right now, it's, to me, it's TCU, and part of that is those other ones are so far away. I don't know what you're going to look like and at that point, and hopefully it's continuing on the trajectory bat-wise is what you're doing right now in the weekend you're coming off of, and really the week you're coming off of. And the other side of it is I don't know what those teams are going to look like, sure. Because there's so – I feel like at this point, because you're halfway through the Big 12 schedule, I feel like this may be the deepest in a while anyways that we've gone through conference play as a whole, and I don't know anything of what the conference is. And I think part of that is because it feels like it's a down year. It doesn't feel like it is a down year for the conference. Yet you still see some projections for some of these early ones that are just starting to come out for the tournament, and there's more numbers in it than maybe you and I had expected. But, you know, who trying to have the discussion of who's the best team in the conference. You got some teams up there, but I don't feel good about nailing down any of them. You know, it's easier to do who's the bottom end of the conference as far as like Baylor and Houston, but then you look right now and TCU's right down there. And so, again, I feel the best about the series you're about to play after ACU, and part of that is because of what you've seen out of TCU lately. But at the same time, where I think that this may make you want to punch me, I'm not saying it arrogantly or anything, because on one side, you need to see improvement on the road. And then on the other hand with it, I mean, how long is TCU going to look like this?
I know. That's it right there. There's the question, and
I want to make sure my wording is heard. That's the one I feel the best about.
Sure.
I'm not saying 110% nail it down. I'm going to be shocked if TCU won the series or something like that. And all of a sudden you go, oh, was the fifth-ranked team in the country. You know?
Sure. I think one of the things that in general, you think about it and go, well, what are they? What what is TCU right now? Are they a team that's in the doldrums and may never recover? A team with real flaws, et cetera, or a team that's just, you know, due for some regression to the mean, which doesn't necessarily regress, doesn't mean get worse, but just, you know, here's what they really are. Lately, they've been down here. They're going to go back up. It's just like I said, Tech's not going to continue hitting 237 on the road with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. That's going to get better. How much better? I don't know. It could get better and be up to 150. It still stinks, all right? I suspect it's going to even, you know, get to a better place, but, you know, it there's a lot going on. And then, but it's, you know, how do you see that TCU team? Well, time will tell, I guess.
That's like when I'm on an upswing in anything in life. That's how they say, like, well, he got better, but he still stinks. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Tuesday. It is Tech Talk. You got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Rangers starting a home series against the A's. Again, that'll be a 6:30 start time for that. For the Astros, they'll start a series on the road in Kansas City, taking on the Royals. That'll start at 6:10 over on 100.7 The Score. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Take us anywhere with a mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. And don't forget, if you want to see our bright and shiny faces, we're streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And if you want, you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look up Double T 97.3. Gus, we got this question on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Speaking of the A's, and this is more to where they'll be playing their future home games, at least for a couple of years, before they mosey on down to Las Vegas, and it'll be in Sacramento. Could MLB teams make an argument to not play at the A's temporary home for the time they will be there?
Yeah, I mean, probably not. I assume, I mean, I wouldn't know what the actual technicality of something like that is, but I would assume a move like that to Sacramento would be something that they would have to approve at some level. You don't just get to haul off and take your team to somewhere. But you know that's the I read a clip, and it might have been something that Buster Olney tweeted. Not positive about that, but he was talking with an unnamed MLB executive, and he was saying, you know, this type of thing makes the entire industry look bad because, I mean, it's sort of a punchline or whatever, but this thing's going to drag out for, what, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 3-4 more years, right?
Yeah.
And
because, 2028 is the target of Las
Vegas?
Yeah,
so 5, 6, and 7 in Sacramento. So what do you do if you're the A's? Not that they've been this picture of being aggressive, especially post-Billy Beane, like, you know, Moneyball and calling all those shots and his influence and that being such a really unique thing in the industry. Once all that evened out, you know, they've sort of missed, right? They've missed over the last several years, but they're not putting, I mean, they're not going out and going, hey, we're going after some free agent in 2026 because we're going to start beefing this team up and beefing up this payroll. No, they're playing in a seat with 10,000 seats. I mean, a stadium with 10,000 seats. I mean, they're going to be bad for 3 or 4 years. Now, that doesn't mean that by 27, maybe 2028, well, it'll be 6 or 7 that maybe they start going, all right, let's start thinking about getting good, you know, cycling everything back up in 2028 so that when they get to the new stadium, they're not still in rebuild mode. But still, it's a bad thing in the industry to have a team that's, you know, going to be tanking. And they've incentivized teams not to do that, but there's no way, shape, or form that the A's are going to spend big this coming offseason in free agency. And there's no shot.
Well,
why would they?
And if I'm – you know, if I'm the A's owner, right, and you're doing this move to Las Vegas, it has already been ugly. It's been ugly for 2 years, and it's going to get worse.
Playing the long game, yes. Well,
I don't see, to me, this is my way off point of view, you know. When you look at how this process has gone, where they're playing at for the next couple of years, all just a patchwork job to get out of Oakland and get over to Las Vegas. This has not been a process of how do we make this team better? How do we do, you know, fan service? Obviously for the ones in Oakland, for the area, for the city, for the community, anything like that. And again, it's not how do we get better. To me, it's how do we just get to Las Vegas? Because even then, when we get the team to Las Vegas, let's be real. Who are they banking on to come to games? It's not locals.
No,
it's people traveling in to see their team going to Las Vegas. It's Rangers fans. It's Astros fans. It's Angels fans.
Everybody looking for a weekend. Yeah, sure.
And so I don't think they're worried about that. About like, hey, how do we turn this ship around and get this roster right before we get to Las Vegas? Because they're more of how do we make this a draw to out-of-town teams or, I guess, traveling teams, and how do we make this an encouraging environment to come make money when they come here? It's not local fans.
Right.
And how many fans are they losing from Oakland that are bitter about this? So I have a hard time believing, well, I don't care what happened. I'm an A's fan forever.
I mean, it's a similar mindset, I'm sure, to now the NHL team can probably work with a, you know, 15,000 fans a night type thing and be plenty successful, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Knights have, right? No. Yeah, Golden Knights. That's because I'm thinking UCF.
Yeah,
can't
yeah,
say no. That.
Getting the confused. Hockey one, you can yes, call them that. They exactly. Won't get mad.
But the Raiders, you know, yeah, it's. You know, you're getting there thinking it's let's say this. Let's back up and talk specifically about the A's. They, you know, this whole thing has dragged out and it's become such a sorry state of affairs with that facility that mm-hmm. the Raiders have left and the A's mm-hmm. because of that stadium. And that's a 1960s era, you know, all-purpose. It's the last, you know, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Philly, everybody went to that. Atlanta, Fulton County, the old mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm just getting started. San Diego, et cetera, because what they were doing was getting into those multi-purposes that could do football. It'd be great. You can do football and baseball in there. One big parking thing. The whole mm-hmm. thing's right here. And then over time, you know, they were sort of cookie cutter and all that. Well, the A's, the Oakland is the only one still using it. And we've heard over the last 15 years, not 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 15 years ago about sewage backing up in locker rooms. Mm-hmm. Broadcasting, you know, the porcupines living in the radio booth. I mean, it's bonkers bad. And so, you know, as unhappy and the A's are the punchline here, and they're yeah. the ones getting all the shrapnel, and they probably deserve a vast majority of it. But the whole sorry state of affairs around that stadium is the real key here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a booming metropolis right now, let's be clear.
Chat for those porcupines. It's Tech Talk on WT97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk podcast from WT97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk on WT97.3. WT97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. Just for a little catch up, if anyone is interested in this coaching search, I know Gus, you and I certainly are over in Kentucky land.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Donovan has stated that Kentucky has not reached out and that he is committed to Chicago, that of course being the Bulls.
You know, yesterday we were tossing names around, and mm-hmm. I grabbed Bruce Pearl as we hit it into the break.
Somebody threw out Nate Oates, who put out a big thing about how yeah. he's committed to Alabama. I don't know who said that.
I'm amending mine to the skipper at BYU. That's what I'm amending mine to.
Really? Some Pope yeah. action over there.
Give me that guy.
Give me old Pope. Another Pope person, sir. I said, perfect world for me. I would hope that they would go grab Ulterberger, who was a name that was sure. kind of thrown around. just because I think what he's building over at Iowa State is a monster and just something I would rather not go up against in the league. BYU is not a bad pick because they've already come in and made a little noise, and if that could leave, assuming that with Pope leaving that they would kind of tumble down, that would not be the worst thing for me either.
No, I agree. Here's
and that's out of respect to both of those guys, by the way.
Here's what I don't think they'll do. I don't think they'll chase, you know, like the University of Texas famously in 20 in the summer of 2016, I think, when they hired David Pierce. You know, he was about their sixth choice.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Tadlock being one. Remember that? About every 3 days, there was another. It went from the Louisville guy to Schleisnagel to Tadlock to this to that, whatever. I don't remember all the, but and every one of them went public and all, and that Texas baseball job is as sought after as, you know, the Kentucky in terms of being equipped and having legacy and all that stuff. But I don't know. Of course, that wasn't, you know, they were sort of in between on athletic directors and whatever. But I don't think that the Kentucky athletic director is going to go through a situation where he swings and misses at Oaks and then Baylor and Scott Drew and this and that. I don't think he's going to go through a situation where their next coach is going, well, I was fifth. I think that, you know, there may be some phone calls being made, search firm to agent type stuff, whatever. But and I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Drew's received a phone call. But I don't think it gets very far before they go to somebody like Pope, because here's the thing they can buy in on. First of all, he played there. All right, let me be clear about that. You know, in the mid-90s for Patino, he played there. And that's probably where it starts. But the fact that they can probably look at him at BYU and go, man, you know, the analytics and some of the things that he does really well, he gets here. And he can unlock all of that here at Kentucky with all of this and all of those flags on the wall. And he gets us because he is one of us. And that I think the, you know, I could see them jumping to him, you know, and maybe buying in on the narrative that I'm talking to. And I don't know anything. I'm just telling you, if he ends up being their guy, I won't be one bit surprised.
So here a couple other bits with this. So on one report from Jeff Drummond, who I believe works with Rivals, he said that with Kentucky, with Rivals, has reported that Kentucky offered Dan Hurley $11 million annually for 5 to 7 years.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Wouldn't be shocked with that by any means. And then New York Times, Adam Zagoria, he reported that Scott Drew was the first call made. Again, first call made does not mean they called with an offer, but as seeing what, you know, something like that, what would it take to get you over here to Kentucky, or would you be interested? Who knows what that situation is? But I'm with you. I don't think you're going to see and if you're Kentucky basketball, you better hope not anyways, that you're going, oh, man. Like, the Hurley thing, if they offered him and they said, no thanks, that's not like a crushing swing and a miss, right? Is it a swing and a miss in its technicality? Yes, but no one is going to be shocked that Hurley would want to stay with what's going on over at UConn, or that UConn is going to give him a raise and make sure he's well compensated with what's going on.
And it's but also home for him too. I mean, that's not like he grew up in Oregon or whatever. No, this is he is that area.
If you're Kentucky with your program status and how you view yourself, and I mean, I think rightfully so, as, you know, I don't think that there's a mecca of basketball. I think there's a few of them, and Kentucky basketball is one of them. That's a bad look if it is like, boy, swing and a miss. Sure. And then we went to this guy, and he said no. And then we went to this guy, and he said no. And finally we got to Mark Pope, and we like it, but we're not supposed to be a school that goes through those no's.
Call one or two guys, yes, and that's it.
And so I'm curious to see ultimately who it was, is going to be. The other one that I would really love is one that has traction, or at least it seems that way, is Scott Drew, because I would like to see Baylor take some steps back. And look, just because a coach leaves, obviously that does not mean that they can't go find someone, and they will take steps back, but certainly have a chance at it. You know, I've seen things, and I mean, as much as, hey, if Scott Drew goes to Baylor, then all of a sudden Baylor's on Tang watch because there's the connection there. You know, who would step up and now be at, fill the Baylor opening? The chain reaction of whatever it is, if it is in the Big 12, is going to be crazy, because it seemed like, at least for a second, that everything was set in the conference whenever the Tang to Arkansas stuff stopped. And then all of a sudden, no one thought the Kentucky job was going to be open.
The ripples continue to ripple, don't they?
I mean, we're always invested in the coaching carousel for college football, and it seemed like it's gotten crazier and crazier. But this is about as interesting and intriguing of a year for the sport of basketball that we've had in a while, because these jobs just don't open up very often. And when it's like, when it does, like the Duke one, like the North Carolina one, they had their guys in place. Like that, it did not cause the ripples that this one has. And what is so wild to me, when you trace this back, it is SMU basketball that was the starting domino to all of this. That is just wild.
Yeah, no doubt.
The team that bought their way to get beat up in the ACC, as long as the ACC lasts, if it does. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.